My mom always told me that the reason I was so messed up as a kid and my anger and my frustration and attention was because my name is Stephen Paul, and Saul Paul persecuted Stephen. So in me, she said, there's this tension. Anyway, that's my mom's psychology for me. But we could focus on the first reading. There's a lot there, especially just the attitude of the leaders. Stubborn, stiff-necked, holding their ears and crying out, even as the word of God is being preached to them by Stephen. I think we're all kind of guilty of that sometimes. That stubborn, stiff-necked, I don't want to hear what the church is telling me. I don't want to hear it. I just want the church to be silent. I don't want to hear what you're correcting me in my attitudes that are sometimes unchristian. I don't want you to correct me in the teaching of the church that I'm not necessarily living as well as I could. I don't want to hear it. And we could ponder that, especially in the season of Easter. It's a time for things to be opened, our minds, our hearts to be opened. The Lord opened their minds to the scriptures. It is interesting, though, and we'll come back to that because it comes up again. But the Lord, I appreciate as he listens or addresses the crowd. Remember, this is the story continuing from yesterday. So yesterday, what did he do? This great multiplication of the loaves, feeding 5,000 people. And then Jesus kind of subtly sends the apostles out. He goes up a mountain. The people think he's still on the mountain, as I guess they must have camped out waiting overnight. But then during the night, our Lord left them and walked on water to meet the apostles. And so we catch it the next morning. We take up the story again. And they're looking, like, where'd he go? And so anyway, we get to this point where they cross to the other side. They find him, and they see him, and they said, what sign can you give us? What can you do that we may believe in you? And as y'all heard me say this before, right? Guys, did you miss the multiplication? He just fed. Why are we so fickle? Why are we so slow to receive the signs that he's given? Why are we so stubborn, stiff-necked? Yesterday they were ready to crown him king. That's why he kind of subtly moved away. It wasn't the time for that yet. But they forgot. It's never enough. Our Lord's gifts and signs and proofs are never enough. We're always looking for more. Give us another sign. And our Lord challenges us. He says, I want you to start moving from seeing all the time and seeing another sign and receiving another gift and praying and getting an immediate gratifying answer to not living on those things, but believing without seeing. Having faith in me no matter what. A faith that endures. But I do appreciate our Lord's patience with them and with us. Because he says, they put it out there, like we want something like what Moses did in the desert. Can you do that? The manna from desert, the word manna means what is it? That thing of the desert, the bread from heaven. I literally like, Jesus, can you do that? Like the bread that it came down from heaven. They found it on the ground, the little wheat thins or whatever. Wheat thins, sorry, not wheat thins, but something else. They found in the desert. Can you do that? And our Lord, maybe a little frustrated, but says, okay, I see your manna. I see your bread from heaven, that thing that fed your body, and I raise you. I will give you the true bread from heaven. I am the bread of life, the bread from heaven, that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Scott Hahn or Brant Petrie, one of the other, takes the Our Father, where it says, give us this day our daily bread. And in English, I think we lose it. He makes the point, it actually means more. But go ahead. I see your prayer for daily bread, the bread that feeds your body, the things that providence can provide for you. Yeah, I see that. But I'll give you the super substantial bread, which is the way Brant Petrie says the Greek might actually mean like that. This bread that feeds like your very being, the substance of the soul. I will give you that. My body from heaven. My body will be a sign for you. My body and my blood, a sign that recalls all the signs I've done for you. My body and blood that represent to you the ultimate gift given for you, lest you ever forget it. May you never forget it. Do this in memory of me, he would say at the Last Supper when he gave us that gift. This gift and proof beyond all other gifts and proofs. Do this in memory of me. So he's preparing them. The story's going to go on tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. And by the way, spoiler, this is year B. So on Sundays, we're in Mark's Gospel. Mark's short. We're going to run out. In June, we're going to hit John chapter 6 again. So the church wants us to really get this. It's really this, one of the central pillars of our faith, the sign that God has given us, this answer that Jesus did give to our petition for more signs, more proofs. Every day, the word sacrament literally means sign. It is a sign, a proof for us, if we would have eyes to ears, eyes to see and ears to hear. If we would not cover our ears and blind our eyes, but rather receive the gift, focus our thoughts, remember the gifts and the proofs that he's given us. And when we receive the Eucharist, it's a time to sit there, maybe even in a journal, all the signs, all the proofs that the Eucharist brings back to us, all the things God has done for us in our personal lives, in our personal journey, but ultimately the gift of all gifts, that God so loved you that he gave his only son. Let this be a sign for you, and do not forget it. Amen. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.